good morning. I don't know why we have the clock set for late. We start at 11 a.m., so I'm just going to start because I like to be on time. So, Pastor is in Ithaca this morning because, yes, Pastor Chad and Jade were stuck in South Africa, but they are safely booked on flights and they will be home. So, praise the Lord. But Pastor is up in Ithaca preaching there, so I'll be preaching at the house today. I have a message from God that is a testimony of what he's been doing in my life, so I'm excited to share that with you. And so let's stand up. I like to see people, but I can't see anybody. Stand up. Let's pray. Father, we just love you so much. You're such an awesome God. You're so good to us. Jesus, we just want to pour out our praise for you, Jesus. We want to put everything aside, every distraction, every anxious thought. We just put it all aside, Lord, to just worship you, to lift you up, to exalt you, to draw close to you, Father, because in your presence, everything changes. So God, make us fresh and new today. Let the word get in our spirit and do work. We just thank you for it, and we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in your precious name. Amen. We're gonna go ahead and start worship.
Good morning, look, you picked a perfect morning to come to church. Look, you should always come to church, but today is the day. We're so glad you're here. We want to welcome you to service. Everybody online, welcome. Can you guys do me a favor? Just turn to the person next to you, give them a wave, give them a smile, say hello, good morning, we're glad you're here. Awesome. Look, we got three announcements for you. Listen, these are really, really good stuff. Look, our Christmas services, Christmas is coming. We are in December. Snow is on the ground. It's not now, but it was. Look, December 19th, we're doing our Christmas service. It's going to be awesome. If you've never been to a Christmas service here, I'm telling you, it's amazing. We're having the production. We're going to have a petting zoo. And I'm telling you, for the first time ever, Santa's going to be in the foyer. We're going to get him saved. Hallelujah. So bring your kids. Take pictures with him. It's going to be awesome. Next Sunday, this is really big. Look, next Sunday, Toys for Tots. This is an organization. We bring in toys. We're going to bring them to the altar. We're going to give these toys to kids in need through Toys for Tots. So bring toys next week. It's going to be awesome. Just bring a toy. It's going to be great. And then lastly, our last announcement, Awaken Monthly. It is tonight. Me and my wife, Pastor Noel, we're going to be running it. It's going to be so awesome. Tonight, 6 o'clock, ages 18 to 30-ish, we're doing a Christmas party. And I'm telling you, I believe have a word that is important for you right now. So young adults, come on out. We're going to see you there. And let's just get right back into worship. Come on.
We are a chosen generation called for to show his excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know. Behold literally means to look. When we say look, we're literally meaning to look. Look to God who takes away our sin. Look to God because in Him is everything you need. So if you're here on this Sunday morning, that means you're looking upon a God that supplies every last one of your needs according to His riches and glory. And He owns cattle on 1,000 hills, which means there's not one thing that you can't have. If you would just, 1 second, look. So let's just close our eyes and let's raise our hands and let's look upon the Father today. Let's look upon His majesty. Let's look upon His peace. Let's look upon His healing. Let's look upon His glory. Come on and sing this with me. Say,
behold the takes away our sin.
Yeah.
Behold the
Son of God.
'Cause in Him is everything. To behold the Lamb of God.
In You, oh Lord, is everything we need. Can we lift our hands all over the place? This is much more than a Christmas carol. This is genuine worship. You know, we can make this religious. We can make it just a thing that we do because it's December. Or we could realize that when we declare, I'm giving you all the glory, that you deserve every bit of it. Man, you think about the God we're singing to. The one that came to destroy the works of the devil. The one that came to save his people from their sin. The one who looses people from bondage and addiction. The one that heals. The one that saves. It's much more than just, oh, I went to church. No, I came to give God glory. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to go to a religious church. I don't want to be a religious people. God's looking for people whose hearts are fully turned towards Him. And that doesn't come by, oh, I sang a Christmas carol at church today. It felt good. No, I gave God glory this morning. I worshiped His name this morning because of what He did in my family, because of what He's done before, because I know what He's promised to do in the future. He deserves it. Man, He deserves every bit of our praise. Thank you, Jesus. If you have anything to praise Jesus for, can you just go crazy for the next 30 seconds? A little bit longer, a little bit louder, a little bit more. Come on. If He saved you, if He set you free, if He healed you, if He's touched you in your body, if He's turned things around in your family and your finances, He deserves the praise. He deserves the glory. He deserves every bit. Every breath, every shout, every bit is what He deserves. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I just do not want to get into a Sunday morning routine. All right. I'm excited. Anybody love Jesus in this room? Come on. Man, we're going to mix it up a little bit today. Pastor Rhonda has an amazing testimony that she wants to preach to you today. And we want to give her all that time. And here's what I know. So many people are like, I feel like the worship could have went longer. Sure, we could worship for a long time in here together. And there'd be nothing wrong with that. But also, I want the word to transform my heart. I want testimony to build faith in my heart so that we can see God move. I think that each part of the service should lead to the next part of the service. Worship prepares our heart. The word moves on our heart and builds faith so that Jesus can save, set free, heal, make whole. They're leading to the next. They're all intertwined. They're all connected. Can you do this? We're not going to do meet and greet today. Can you go ahead and find your seat? I know it's a little bit different. We are a family church. Normally we do a lot of meet and greet because we do love each other. But we're going to mix it up on you today. And we're going to jump right into the offering. Awesome. Well, look, we're excited that you're here, and I think that this is often a misunderstood portion of service, because we would think, well, just the church just wants my money or this or this. I'll be honest, I could care less about getting your money because I know God's going to always fund what he asks for. I want to see you blessed. We look at your neighbor and say, I want to see you blessed. And what we don't talk about is often left for misunderstanding or just simple ignorance and not having a knowledge of. You know, we talk about healing because God's a healer. We talk about salvation because God saves. We talk about freedom because God brings freedom. And it would be great for your life to have all of those things, but it would be ridiculous to leave one promise unopened in your life. You know, I think about Christmas, and I've never seen a kid like this. I've never seen a kid be so excited on Christmas morning that they go running down the stairs and they open up almost all of their presents. they're like, yeah, but I don't really know if I want to open that last one because I've heard other people talk about opening the last present. And I don't know if I want to open up the last present because I think I'll be a little bit uncomfortable. And I don't want to open up that last one because I think I'm all set with what I already have. As a dad, I would be upset with my kids if I purchased something, wrapped it, prepared it, and was excited to give them. And their response was, well, I'm a little bit nervous. Well, I'm good. I already got enough. I'm thankful that you're appreciative, but I got that for you. And this is often how church or people treat finances, is we get weird about it. Well, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to talk about it. Why? You stress about it all week. You work for it all week. Well, I've heard other people say bad things. Sure, other people have done bad things with a lot of things, but it doesn't mean it's bad. And I want you to know that God is in charge of not only our freedom, our salvation, our healing, but also our finances. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness, therefore, of it. And God wants his children to be blessed. That was very unconvincing. God wants his children to be blessed. And part of this blessing is simple obedience. You know, I was reading through the book of Joshua, and it's crazy because they move into the promised land in the book of Joshua, but it's wild because they never actually fully possess the full promised land. It was even crazier. Some of them move into the cities that they were promised, and they let the current inhabitants live there with them. They don't even take all of it. Seven tribes, this one blew my mind. Seven tribes in Joshua chapter 18, they were too lazy to even go get what God gave them. They were okay with just getting their foot in the promise. They weren't even driven enough to go get it. And I think about us being blessed. And it starts to wonder, are there things that we've not yet done? Because I know God wants to do it. God purchased it. God prepared it. God planned it. And I would like to encourage you this morning that simple obedience is what brings us into the blessing of God. You know, you don't have to jump through 100 hoops. You don't have to spin on your head, and you don't have to throw $1,000 in the air to get blessed by God. It's simple obedience. And it's not weird. It's not manipulation. It's none of those things. It's just simple obedience to God. Simple obedience to God in terms of our finances is giving a tithe. We find it before the law. With Abraham. We find it during the law in the Old Testament. We find it confirmed for us as believers in the New Testament with Jesus and then his apostles. And I would encourage you that tithing is simply 1/10 of what we make back to the Lord. You're like, well, that doesn't make sense. God wants to take from me. No, God wants to test you. Because when we can be trusted with little, God wants to give us much. When we can be trusted with what we have, God wants to give us more. And there are results in us tithing that are beneficial for us. You know, we look at it as a loss, but it's one of the greatest benefits in our finances. Think, if God can trust you with what he has, don't you think he'd give you more? The blessing of obedience to the Lord is insanely beneficial. You think about being in right standing with God and knowing that he can trust you is going to bring you to the next level. I think that the blessing of obedience to God in our finances shows that we honor God and he's going to honor us. I think it helps destroy greed in our life. Does anybody like greed? No. So give. And one of the greater things that it does is it helps rebuke the devourer. And you say that, and you're like, well, I don't even know what that means. If you grew up in church, you probably know what that means. If you didn't grow up in church, or if you're under the age of 40, that's just kind of a weird statement. Rebuking devourers. Man, we know that the devil's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's in every part of your life. So when we give, we know that the Lord is a protector over what the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So where you were going to get fired, now your boss might get fired so you can be protected. Where something might break in your house or in your car, guess what? The Lord gives you a little bit of insight and you have it checked out and it's fixed before it ever becomes a major problem. You might have had a loss, but a random check shows up in the mail from taxes 6 years ago that you never even expected. And the Lord takes care of those who honor Him. And we don't need to make money weird. I think we should be blessed. I don't think we should struggle. I think we should be blessed. And God wants to bless you. Amen? We teach tithe. We believe tithe. And we don't make money weird because it's not. And we also don't idolize money because it's not God. It's just a good tool. God is God and we don't serve anything else. There's envelopes in the back of your seat. There's multiple ways to give. You can give online. You can text or you can fill out that envelope. There's enough in the back of every seat. We do need to order some more, but we do something different here. We don't want to pass a bucket and shake you down in your seat. We're going to give you an opportunity to give your offering to the Lord in a willful way. So we're going to set some buckets up in the front. We have a declaration from Deuteronomy chapter 28 that we repeat. And I'd like to invite you to stand up as we get ready to share our offerings this morning. Also, if you don't have an offering, we have a sheet up here that I'd like everybody to grab. So even if you don't have an offering, up here on the table, we have a little sheet that we want to make sure you get in your hand. And we're going to have our supernatural declaration right now. Charlene's going to come, and she's going to have the supernatural declaration up here real quick. And she'll do it on the floor, more comfortable.
If I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings will chase me down. They'll trip me up, because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come and give your offering.
Awesome. You can come and give your offering. Also, make sure you grab one of these sheets right in front of the bucket, and we'll talk about it together. Man, I have a quick question before I turn it over to Pastor Rhonda. That was not my question. The question is easy is, man, who has people they love that don't yet know Jesus? I think we probably all do. And it's funny because I've heard a narrative, and you've probably heard it as well, of a narrative of, it's fine if you're a Christian, just stop shoving your Christianity down my throat. And it's crazy because it is my Christianity to tell you about my Christianity. It is my religion to tell you about my religion, because I believe, according to the Bible, that if you don't know Jesus and don't have a relationship with Jesus, then the eternity that you would have is separate from the Lord in a place called hell. And I love people enough that I don't want them to go to hell. I want them to go to heaven. I don't just want heaven for them, but I also want freedom here on earth. I want to see them live in the will of God here on this earth. And it's not shoving a religion, but it's offering freedom and life. And we have something that we want to do together, especially now in this holiday season. Most people will come to church. They say over 80% of people that come to church were invited by a friend or a family member, and 40% of people are willing to say yes from a simple invitation. And what we want to do, because think about it, pastor can only go to so many places. Pastor can only talk to so many people. But we all have people that we have in our life that don't yet know the Jesus that we know, that don't yet have the salvation that we have, the freedom that we have, the joy that we have. And I want people to know it, and you want those people to know it as well. So we're going to push this for the next couple weeks and then again in January. But we have a new sheet, and it's called the My Top Five. Man, who are the top five people in your life that you want to share the gospel with? Who are the top five people in your life that you want to invite to church? And we're going to commit to this for December 19th is our Christmas production, is to pray for, share the gospel with, and invite those five people to church. It's not about church growth. This is about people coming to know Jesus. This is about going from death to life. This is about bondage to freedom. And we want to see your friends, your family members. We want to see our county, man, as in Chemung County as it is in heaven, should be the cry of our heart. And that's the goal. So I want to do this. We're going to take 15, 20 seconds and write down five names of people that you're going to invite, pray for, and share the gospel with for December 19th or even before, so that we can see a shift in their life. Because this is what we do. We're here to love God, love people, and share his love with others. It's the great commandment and the great commission. And this is what the church is about, is filling heaven and emptying hell. It's about bringing freedom and joy and love and peace and purpose to the world that's lost and broken. Amen? So let's do this. Let's take 10, 15 seconds. Let's write these names down. Maybe you don't have a pen. Put them in your phone. That's fine. And then together we're going to pray and believe that God is going to give us opportunities. He's going to give us words to say. And we're going to have the boldness to invite people. Awesome. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now for opportunity to share your gospel. That Holy Spirit, you'd go before us and you'd start to soften hearts. We know that it's you that draws men unto repentance. So I pray even now that the names written, that Lord, you'd start to move, you'd start to open up conversations and interests. That when we get the opportunity, or when we make the opportunity, that we would have the words to say, that we'd have the boldness to invite and to share your gospel. So that, Lord, those who don't yet know you would come to know you. Those that are far from you would come close to you. Those that are in bondage and alcoholism and addiction and marriages that are broken, that they could be restored and freedom would be found. That Jesus, those close to us would come to know the one that saved us. In the mighty name of Jesus, give us fresh opportunity. In your name, can I hear a mighty amen? Amen. Well, hey guys, I'm going to pass the service on to Pastor Rhonda as she shares what God has just done in her life. And if you've been around for a little bit, you know the fight of faith that's been happening, the victories that have already occurred. Will you put your hands together for Pastor Rhonda as she comes to share her testimony?
Thank you so much. Now give a bigger hand to Jesus, who is so awesome and incredible. Without him, we're nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. So I am very happy to be able to share with you this week. Ithaca did want me to preach there, but I'm like, no, I got to preach this message to our main campus before I go to the other campuses. So that's where Pastor is. He is in Ithaca. So we'll start about 4 weeks ago, I ended up in the hospital over a week and a half in total, with the doctor's reports coming back and saying that there was nothing that they could do, that they were just going to send me home with comfort care and palliative care, and they were just not able to do anything. My kidneys had been blocked and a partial bowel blockage, and my body was just not responding. Friday, the oncologist came in, and he looked at me and he said, "I'm very sorry. There's just nothing more we can do. We've done everything, and there's nothing more we can do." And I looked at him and I said, "You know what? It's okay, because I'm going to live and not die." And so I checked myself out of that hospital so I could stop hearing them say that I was not going to live. And that was Saturday. We got home, and I physically, honestly, didn't know if my body was going to live through the night. Don't be upset because you didn't know that, or I didn't tell you. I didn't even tell my husband, okay? So nobody knew, because I didn't want to put that into words. I didn't want to speak that out, even though it felt like my reality at that moment of my physical body just was not responding. And so I put on a different than I normally listen to, Charles Capp's Healing Confession. And I love it. It's incredible. I've never even thought before to speak to my body, to tell my body what it's allowed to do and what it can do, and speaking right to the body parts and telling it how it's going to be. And so this is 22 minutes of Charles Capps just speaking life. And then it went right into how they roll over to a similar Bill Winston preaching. And I cannot find this video again. I don't know where it is. I'd love to find it. But it was Bill Winston saying, "I'm going to offend your faith today." So that's the title of this message. I'm going to offend your faith today. And when he said that, I said, "Bring it on. Please offend my faith. I need you to offend my faith because it's not working. Tell me." And so he proceeded to say, "Anything outside of the word of God is not faith at all. Anything outside of the word of God is not faith at all." And then he proceeded to say, "Once you've prayed..." No, that's not that one. He proceeded to say, "This is on you, not on God. He's done everything that he needs to do 2,000 years ago. By his stripes, you were healed." So there's nothing more that God can do. And I know the whole little Christian lingo thing, caught myself saying it and doing it. Anyways, it's in God's timing. It's when God... No, we are not waiting on God. It was already accomplished on the cross. It was already accomplished 2,000 years ago. It's just some kind of thing we do to appease ourselves to say we're waiting on God. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. If we're not going to do it, God can't. If we're not going to do it, God can't. This book, it doesn't automatically happen. It's not automatic. And that's why we see, even like, listen, I am not any judge of any Christian, because I've been through it and I know that sometimes you just get tired. You just get tired of fighting the fight. And that's where most people throw in the towel and just can't do it any longer. And I'm not judging anyone. I'm here to encourage you to just go after faith. Increase your faith as much as you can. And listen, I think I'm a faith person. I think I'm an extreme faith person. And I still learned so much over this past month of faith. And so this word only happens by us by us. And so, yep, he did. He offended my faith. But it was in that moment that I really felt like, okay, I'm going to live and not die. I'm going to live and not die. And so I got up the next morning. It was Sunday. I determined I was going to be at church. I don't know why it is that the enemy keeps us from church. Whenever something happens, we feel like we have to run and hide and stay away. That's the only place I wanted to be. I wanted to be in the corporate anointing, the corporate presence of God, where one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. I mean, I needed to be in the house of God. So even though, listen, nothing had changed in my body. Like, it was rough, but I did it. I got up, dressed up, showed up. And so I got here, and Chris Estrada was here that week. And he just happens to be close friends of Bill Winston. And I was telling him the message that really got me. And he said, well, I'll just call him and have him pray for you. I was like, awesome. Well, he was in the middle of preaching service because it was Sunday. So we had one of his sons FaceTime me and pray over me. And it was awesome because he prophesied things. I've never met this man. I've never even heard of him before. And he prophesied things that were so accurate and on. And then he prayed over me and he bound up the spirit of death that was trying to take my life out. And the moment he cast that spirit of death off me, it was like a complete shift and change. It wasn't an instant miracle. There's been recovery. And God is just one thing after another. But in that moment, I was hungry, which was a big deal because I hadn't been able to eat for almost 2 weeks. I couldn't keep anything down at all. And so he prayed over me, cast that spirit of death off, and I was hungry. I wanted food. I was like, Corinne, take me to get some food. No, I need to eat. And I've been eating perfectly fine ever since, anything and everything. And one by one, the many layers of things that were going on, God has healed and touched every single thing until I feel better than when I did before. So it's just amazing and nothing to do with doctors. Like, they've literally washed their hands. There's nothing they can do. I assured them, that's okay. My faith has gotten me this far. My faith is going to continue to keep me alive. So thank you for your time, but I'm going to stick with what works. My faith. And I love it because the oncologist, who was so sympathetic and saying that, I got to have a Zoom call with him like 3 weeks after, and I was like, I'm still here. You can't get rid of me. But I want to share with you some of the things that really offended my faith, that really challenged my faith, because what we call faith a lot of times isn't actually faith at all. And I want to offend your faith, because if you're walking in that same place that I was, and I think I'm an extreme faith person, and it's challenged my faith, I really want to challenge your faith, because if you're thinking that it's faith and you're doing some of these things, maybe it's not really been faith at all. And that's why we're not seeing. So listen, this isn't steps of how to. You have to jump through this hoop or that hoop. No, I'm just giving you some keys that might work and unlocking some things in your life. So don't try to make it a formula or get religious about it, because that's not going to work either. All right? This is about relationship with Jesus and following his word, not your traditions, not the things that we do. Like, it was shocking to me, the areas of faith that were challenged in me. And so I want to share those with you. The first thing that's so important whenever anything happens is I check myself. That's the first area. Get rid of any and all unforgiveness and offense. Unforgiveness is huge. It's not a little thing. Any unforgiveness in your life, the word of God says in Matthew that if you do not forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. I cannot stress enough how imperative it is for you to just forgive that person. You are setting yourself free. Don't allow them to keep you in bondage to that for the rest of your life. You set yourself free by letting it go. Pay it. No, I know it was real. I know they really wronged you. But you can't, when you're focusing on that and dwelling on that, that's all you're going to be producing in your life is that negativity. So you've got to get rid of unforgiveness and offense. And I know we think sin is big things. As Christians, we think sin is all those big things. But I want to challenge you with what the Word of God says about sin in specific areas. Gossip is sin. Selah, church. Strife. Strife. That definition is like friction. Just those people that rub you the wrong way. Strife. Do you know James says that where there is strife, every evil thing is present? I know you like to say that sin is all those big things other people do. No, we've got to pay attention to the Christian things that are so readily accepted, but not the Word of God. And then how about slander? Oh, this one you're probably all really familiar with at the dinner table, when you're out with your friends, at work, talking about other people, saying negative things. Why is that the favorite conversation? Like, we need to remove that from our conversations. Philippians tells us that we're to speak only the things that build, encourage, and edify. That's it. That's all you're supposed to be speaking. And yet, we slander our brothers and sisters. Oop. Lack of tithing. It's the Word of God. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Lack of tithing is a huge area because we talk about the blessing all the time. But what it says, if you don't tithe, that you're cursed with a curse. This is what the Word of God says. Hidden sins, bitterness, on and on and on we can go about things the Word of God says that we need to check ourselves with. So the first thing I do always is check myself, make sure there's not sin in my life. So Brother Ted called me months ago, and he said to me, all right, you're not allowed to get angry about anything. Because you know what anger does? You start to meditate on it, it festers, and it becomes sin. So you're not allowed to become angry about anything. I'm like, oh, that's easy. I'm not an angry person at all. I've mastered the unoffendable, forgiving. Like, I don't care what people do. It's not me. That's on you. So I thought I was great with it till I tried it. It's amazing when you think about the things that get you upset and get you riled and get you into sin. So I'm going to pose that challenge to you too. Try it. Try it this week. Do not get angry about anything. And you might have to catch yourself, because I know we're not good at it yet, but you might have to catch yourself a little ways in, probably the first few times. I did. I had to catch myself when I felt that coming up and starting to fester and then wanting to say something to my husband and can't get angry about anything because it causes us to sin. So we want to make sure there's no sin in our life. We want to get rid of all those things. Check ourselves first. And that's point number one. Number two that I learned is, ooh, this is a big one. You ready to have your faith offended? God isn't doing anything more. He's already done it all. Your results are in your own hands. Mouth, faith. You are not waiting on God's timing or him to do something. If you won't do it, he can't. So we're not waiting on God. He's already done everything. He's waiting on us to walk in true faith. All right, here's another one. Ready? This is a good one. This one got me. And you know, we teach it, we preach it, but sometimes, especially if you're in an elongated battle, sometimes it'll catch you. If you pray more than once for it, it is doubt and not faith. So if Antonio asked me for $50 and I gave it to him, if he kept coming back and asking me for the $50, like, dude, I gave it to you. You already have it. Why are you asking me for more? If you pray once, then any more prayers on top of that are doubt and actually taking away from your faith. Now, I'm the kind of person, you can't just say that, like, what do I do then when these feelings come up and these thoughts and these words and these symptoms and all those kind of things? Like, I have to have a plan of action. So you can't just leave me there, like, pray once and then, like, duct tape your mouth. No, absolutely not. What you do is after you pray once, then you thank God. You confess and decree what direction your body will go. This isn't just healing. This is everything. What direction your relationship goes in. What direction your lost child goes in. What direction your finances go in. What direction your job, your workplace, all those kind of things. This applies to everything in our lives, not just illness. So once you pray, now you thank God. Confess and declare what will happen. If it's sickness, disease, maiming, and wounding, speak directly. And this was the first time. I mean, I know this, but this was the first time when I heard that Charles Capps confession on healing that I've heard speaking right to your body parts. Like, my blood is bringing life all throughout my body. My cells are healthy and whole. And any cells that are not have to detach themselves and dissolve from my body. Just declaring that over and over. And I would literally play that all night long. All throughout the day when I had opportunity and time. If I was sitting, if I was doing dishes, cleaning, whatever. I would just have it playing constantly. Reminding myself of what the truth is from the word of God for my body. So, example, my blood is healthy. It flows through my body, giving life. My cells are healthy, and any that are not have to disconnect and dissolve from my body. No tumors or growth can inhabit my body. My body is a temple, an habitation of the Holy Spirit. So we pray once, then declare the truth and the word as often as you need to. So after you've prayed that first prayer, you don't have to stop talking. When those things come up in your face, you start declaring and you start thanking God for it. The awesome part about when you do this, it's like stirring water with a pencil. Like, it's not a spoon, it's a pencil. So you're really not getting too much at first. But if you continue to stir that pencil, you're going to get this motion, this movement that's automatically going in that direction. So when you start this, keep going. Just keep going. You're going to see a change. The Word of God says in Proverbs 19:21, death and life are in the power of your tongue. We speak either a language of life or we speak a language of death, and we will eat the fruit of it, it says. So whatever we're producing, if we're speaking good, if we're speaking the Word of God only, then we're building life. We'll have a harvest of life. If we're speaking death, oh, this bum leg, you know, it's been a problem. It's just, I can't do anything with it. I'm never going to be okay. That's what you're going to get. You know, the pain is real. I'm not saying deny the symptoms. I'm saying declare the truth over it. And when we do this, you're actually creating in the atmosphere. Literally, the word says in Hebrews that this is active, living, powerful, working in and for us. The words that we're declaring, they are actually life to our bodies, life to our situations, life to us. So death and life are in the power of our tongue. It's up to us. It's not in anybody else's hands. The responsibility is on us. I know we'd like to just blame it on everything else. Like, man, I'm standing in faith. I could have blamed it. I'm standing in faith. I don't need anything more. I'm standing in faith. No, instead I was like, please offend my faith. Like, tell me what I need to do. Tell me what's not working. But when you're trying to figure out intellectually in the natural what God can do supernaturally, you're not going to get to faith, because faith is supernatural. It's believing in the things you cannot yet see. Faith is supernatural. So we need to watch the words of our mouth. We need to take the word like it's medicine. It literally says that his word is medicine to our body. So medicine, it doesn't work the first time that you take one. You have to take it. There's a prescription for it. You take it with food usually. So take the word like it's your medicine. Say, okay, right now I'm taking this as medicine. I'm taking the word and it's going to heal my body as I take the word in as medicine. It is literally medicinal for your body, for your health. So we need to get the word in as much as we can. I love this scripture. This was so helpful. And it says, Jesus is saying, my sheep know my voice, and as strangers, they will not follow. So any of those doctor's reports, the bank reports, the trends in culture and the trends in finance and all that kind of stuff, that's not our report. The Father's voice is the voice that we follow, and we do not follow another. We follow the voice of the Lord. And so the problem when I was in the hospital, it was just constant. Every day, all day long, talking death, death, death. I was like, I need to check out of here so I can live and not die. You got to be careful of what you're allowing in. Even wonderful, well-meaning Christians, you guys. I have heard the stupidest things. Can we just sit here for a minute? Because we need to stop this in the church. If you're not going to declare the word of God over somebody, please don't talk. Please don't talk. Don't try to figure out why, where it came from, all this kind of stuff. No! You're feeding death. Let your language be life. Oh, don't tell Aunt Susie's story of how they had that and they were in the hospital 9 times in 1 month. Great Christian encouragement. I've heard it myself. Like, if we can't speak, and this is where we're getting it wrong. We're trying to help. We're trying to be comforting. Do you know when somebody is dying, they don't need comfort and they do not need sympathy? They need faith. They need the word of God. They need the truth. I mean, Sunday I came to church and had all that happen. And Monday I had a phone call scheduled with Brother Ted, and it was an hour long of truth. No sympathy, no compassion. Just straight to truth. But you know, I needed to hear that. 1 ounce of sympathy or compassion would have sucked me right back into buying into that thing. So we've got to, as the church, I'm telling you, be slow to speak. When somebody comes to you with something in their life, quote the word of God only. And if you can't think of it, Google the verse that you're trying to think of. Take the time. Don't just, please, church. Like, I hear it all the time, and we've got to stop it. We got to speak life. You're the church. You're supposed to be speaking life and not death. And well-meaning, sweet, wonderful people that just care. We've got to be cautious. And then we need to bind up spirits. I think this is the part we skip over too. because we're Christians, you know, we're filled with power and authority. The devil's defeated. That does not mean he's not still out to steal, kill, and destroy and attacking your life. Wake up. We've got to understand the demonic realm is real. I cannot tell you in this past month how many times demonic spirits have been cast off me that have turned things around. I remember one of them, we were up in Rochester, and I just had a sharp pain in my shoulder and my side. It was the weirdest thing. Never had it before, but I couldn't even take a breath because it hurt so bad. And I was staying at the same hotel as Brother Ted and Bonnie because Brother Ted was preaching up there. And so Bonnie came down and prayed for me, and, you know, it dulled a little bit. But as we're going through the service, it's getting stronger and stronger. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I don't know if I can stay here. My husband was here teaching Rock Solid Faith. I didn't know what to do. And Brother Ted walked down off the altar, and it felt like he grabbed my arm and ripped something off it and grabbed my side and ripped something off it. It was just seconds. It was just super quick. And so as soon as he did that, immediately the pain was gone. Immediately. So do not discount the fact that the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. We can't think over that and miss out on that might be causing. Like Mr. Wilson prayed over me, and he prayed that the spirit of death be broken over my life. And guess what? Instantaneously, the spirit of death was broken over my life. So there are spirits of infirmity, spirit of fear, spirit of heaviness. There's spirit of death. There's all sorts of demonic spirits that try, and they can't do anything unless we're ignorant to it or we don't stand up to it, because you've been given all power and authority. You've been given it. So you can cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Luke 10:19, one of my favorite verses. Behold, I have given you authority. You, not God. You have been given authority over all the devices of the enemy. That means anything he brings at you, God has given you power and authority over it. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's what the word of God says. You've been empowered over the enemy. He's defeated. The only way he can participate in our lives is if we're ignorant or we don't choose to do it. And I love this one. Matthew 16:19. And it's in the contemporary English version. I mean, the regular version says whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. I love the way this one says it. Listen to it. God will allow whatever you allow. But God will not allow anything you don't allow. When you resist the devil, he must flee. So every time I've gotten any kind of report, I immediately resist that report if it doesn't line up with the word of God. Resist it, and the devil has to flee. He has to go. We can't just accept whatever we allow, God has to allow. Whatever we don't allow, God has to stand up against. It's his word. So whatever you allow, God has to allow. Matthew 16:19. Ooh, here's a good one. You cannot base your healing on any kind of symptoms or the way you feel. Hear me out. You cannot base your healing on symptoms and the way you feel. Even though those are the loudest things screaming in your face, and it's what you're really feeling. What we feel is not our truth and our reality. We must base it solely on what the word of God says. So this was a response to me with Brother Ted. I had said to him, my spirit's strong. Like, I'm declaring, I will live and not die. I'm getting up, I'm dressing up, I'm showing up. But my physical body is just not doing it. It's just not changing. It's just not working. What do I do when my spirit is strong, but the physical body isn't matching up? And he answered very clearly, you don't base it on the way you feel. no matter what. We can't base it, because if you're waiting to feel it, guess what? You're already healed. And you don't need faith any longer. So it's not actually faith if we're waiting till we feel it to know we're healed. We're healed 2,000 years ago. We declare the word of God. We speak the word of God only. We speak to our body, tell it what it's going to have to do. We cannot wait until we feel it. This is the problem. We are waiting until we can feel it. And that's after you're healed. And that's not faith. You don't exercise faith after you got it. You're not still asking for it after you've got it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews tells us, 11:1, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith actually is when you can't see it, when you can't feel it, when you don't know. It's the evidence of those things. Faith, that's where faith has to step in, speaking the word only, declaring the word only. I heard one of the pastors say that he was believing for 17 years. But he wouldn't give up and he wouldn't quit. Because listen, I don't want to stand before God and be like, you know, you didn't do anything, so I quit. No, I want to say, God, this is on you. I'm going to believe until my last breath that I take. Because I'm not going to stand before a holy God, which all of us are going to do, and say, you know, I quit on you. No, when you've done everything to stand, keep standing. Stand therefore. Just continue to stand, no matter how long it takes, because that moment, it's working. He's moving. Things are happening. It's not natural. No, you can't figure it out. No, it doesn't fit your timeline. No, it doesn't work like that. It's supernatural. It's happening. It's happening in a realm you can't even see. God is setting things up for you, but we sabotage it with the words of our mouth. With almost pleading with God to heal us. That's not faith. Here's the last one. We need to start each day with fresh, new, now faith. And what I mean by that is to not carry over yesterday's, the past, doubts, feelings, disappointments, circumstances, symptoms. If we don't start fresh and new with expectation, because his word says his mercies are brand new every single day. Every day is a brand new day. When you're carrying over all that past stuff, you're bringing, it's like a snowball of doubt. You're bringing accumulated doubt into your next day. And how can you have any faith when you have this snowball of doubt following you into every single day? So we've got to cut off. Yesterday's gone. Today is brand new. This is what the word of God says. We have got to let that stuff go and start our day. Today is the day of my miracle. Today is the day for my healing. Today is the day for the turnaround. We need to start our day with, I am Corinne Sanchez, child of God, loved by God. I am healed and whole, period. Not with any, I mean, this was so profound to me. Literally, we do that as Christians. We carry over this accumulated doubt into our next day. And how can we even have faith with a giant snowball of doubt following us? So we need to get rid of the doubt. We need to forget the past. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press on. It's what the word of God. We need to press on and continue. Just continue to stand. Listen, if I didn't do this, we might be coming on 3 years now. I don't know. It's been a long fight, the good fight of faith. They told me 2 years ago that I wouldn't have 2 weeks to live. I'm still here by God and God alone. Literally, God has done miracle after miracle after miracle because I have the choice. I have the choice. Am I going to believe? Am I going to speak life? Or am I going to speak death? And let me tell you, it's hard to not tell your spouse when you don't even think you're going to live through the night. But I refused to put words on that. I didn't need any sympathy. I needed faith. You don't need sympathy. If you're looking for sympathy, you're not going to be in faith anyways. You're going to enjoy all the attention. We need to walk in faith every single day. We need to watch what language we're speaking. There are two languages, life and death. The Word of God says your tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. I could go on and on with scriptures about your words. Your words produce whatever you say. Your words produce whatever you say. Whatever you say is what you're going to have. So we need to start declaring, I am prosperous. I have the mind of Christ. I have something else that's going on. I'm not even going to put it into words. From some kind of med I think they gave me with my brain. And you know what? I haven't said anything. I'm not even saying anything to my husband. Because you know what I started declaring? I have the mind of Christ. I have a sound mind. Or I could cry and whine and put it into words. And then what am I going to have? Going to have what I speak. See how this just challenged my faith so much. Brought it to a whole new level and a whole new dimension. And that's where we need to go. We need to go from faith to faith. Lord, increase our faith today. Lord, increase our faith today. Whatever it is you're facing, ask the Lord, increase my faith. The word has gone forth today, and it's going to be able to transform your faith life. You're going to see, it might feel like a pencil, and it's not doing much. But you just keep going, and you're... Whatever you plant, what seed time and harvest will not pass away. Whatever you plant is what you're gonna get a harvest for. What you plant, that fertile soil you're planting in doesn't determine. God doesn't determine what you're getting. That fertile soil doesn't get to pick what the seed is gonna be. The farmer plants the seed, and the seed plants or harvests whatever it is. So we've got to take responsibility for our words and actions and get excited about it. Because listen, look at, I'm alive. I feel better. I just preached my second sermon in one day. I mean, I couldn't even drive myself for a while. There's proof in my life. So I can stand in front of you and say, I'm going to offend your faith, and I'm happy to do it because I'm alive and well today because of it. So I hope that I offended your faith. I hope I made you angry. But will you look at the word of God? Will you just be obedient to the word of God? And when whatever you speak, get excited. You have power. You have power. Your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Oh, you got to get writing some good stuff. You got to get to writing some good relationships, some people coming to the Lord. Those five names that you put on that list, bind the blinders that are put on their eyes and ask God for open doors and that they'd be willing to come when you invite them. Listen, start speaking positive things over your life, over your finances, over your relationships, over your boss, and keep yourself clean and pure. Yes. Don't forget the do not be angry thing. Yes. That's your challenge this week. We gotta start somewhere. Yes. But again, listen, these aren't hoops you have to jump through. Please, please hear me. These are not hoops to jump through. These are keys I'm giving you. Amen. Keys that just might unlock some things in your life. That's it. That's all they are. Some keys that open doors you've been given. Actually, God gave, I didn't even give them to you. He says, I give you the keys to the kingdom. So today God has given you through his word the keys to the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads and close your eyes in this place. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. You've never accepted him in your life, or you've walked away and backslidden. Today, if you're in this house and you just want to return your life to Jesus, or you want to give your life for the very first time, I just want you to raise your hand real quickly. We're not going to wait very long. So if that's you in this place, just raise your hand up real quick. He's the best friend that you'll ever have. Everything good comes from God. And everything bad is from the enemy, John 10:10, who's out to steal, kill, and destroy. God is a good God, and he wants blessing and favor for your life. If you're here and you want this Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, just raise your hand real quickly. Okay, awesome. I'm going to believe you're all saved. And we're going to stand to our feet. I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Prayer team, as many men as we have, please all come forward to pray. Thank you. If you have anything you need to come into agreement with somebody, these are powerfully trained prayer team. Their prayers are powerful. Listen, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. Come up afterwards and get prayer and watch God break through. And after you pray for it, what are you going to do? Thank the Lord and declare and decree what the Word of God says. You can do that as many times as you want. Actually, the more you do it, the better. Sometimes you might have to do it a lot because you hear a lot of negative in a day. So go ahead, decree and declare all day long. It will only work in your favor. Don't bow your heads. No, I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Sorry. Father, I just pray a blessing over this congregation. God, I thank you that you've increased our faith today, that you've given us keys to the kingdom that are powerful and will break loose things in our life. I just thank you for it, Jesus. You're such an awesome, awesome God. You're a healing God. You're a miracle working God. You're amazing. There is nothing too difficult, nothing too hard for you, Jesus. We just thank you for it in your precious name. Amen. Amen. I love you all. Be blessed. If you need prayer for anything, the prayer team is here at the altar.